middle 90s, we were planting two churches out of this church, a church in Weirsdale and a church out at Astor. And some really difficult stuff happened. I went through a divorce, an unwanted divorce. My heart was broken. That had a huge impact. The two church plants immediately withered up and were no more. It was devastating for a lot of people. It was painful. A lot of people left. Some people stayed. And then just a time of trying to recover and trying to hear the Lord. And Lord, what do we do now? God had mercy on me and blessed me with a wonderful wife. And a healing process began in my life. I'm thankful that my children love the Lord. I am thankful. Through all of that, God is good. And my grandchildren are coming to know the Lord. I am so thankful for that. And then in the year 2000, Pastor Sean moved back from Colorado, where he had been involved with a church plant. And I remember when I first got acquainted with Pastor Sean, we were putting a new roof on the house back in the back. And he was back there working with us, and his father-in-law, Jeff Winger, and I'll never forget, Jeff Winger fell off the roof into the dump trailer. But I got acquainted with Sean and just really saw the hand of God on him. And very quickly thereafter, we asked Pastor Sean to serve as the youth pastor for the church here. And then over time, the youth began to grow up and get married and have families, and we asked if he would serve as the family pastor. That's been 20 years ago. Pastor Sean has been here a long, long time, faithfully serving the Lord. And then God began to speak to us about Sean stepping in and being the lead pastor. There was a process, and we didn't know what the timeline would be when that would occur. And then in 2010, we felt like then was the time. But when we asked Pastor Sean to lead the church, we didn't want to strap his hands. We said, if you're ever going to rename the church, now's the time to do it. Cast your vision for the church. In other words, it was kind of like a relaunch. I think it would be very difficult to say, hey, you've got to do the church just the way it was done before. No, let it be what God has called it to be. I'm so thankful for Pastor Sean and Miranda and their family and their faithfulness in serving the Lord. And then there was a merger a few years later in another church. My mind just went blank. North Point and Pastor Scott and the two churches came together. And then Pastor Scott moved to Tennessee, and then different people have gone different places, and sometimes it's felt like a setback, hasn't it? But can now I transition from the past into what's current? What is God doing right now? As I was praying and saying, Lord, what about all of this history? I really felt like the Lord spoke to me and said it was just a foundation being laid. Not for just a church, but churches and ministries and missions, that God was laying a foundation. I'm so thankful that CWP is here. I'm so thankful there's ministry going on in this place. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we felt like we were down for the count. I've had times when I said, Lord, I don't even want to be here anymore. Surely you've never said that, have you? And then there was a Spanish ministry that was birthed called Luz del Cielo, and you heard from Pastor Vic this morning. And that was an answer to prayer, and that's a miracle, and that ministry is ongoing. Aren't you thankful that there is a ministry for Spanish-speaking people here? And then I felt like the Lord directed me to do something very strange. Plant a garden. Plant a garden. You know what my tools were? A shovel and a hoe. What does a garden have to do with anything? And then to start a school called the Empower School of Discipleship. We're coming up on 8 years now since that first began. And we've had to learn a lot. The goal was to disciple young adults and to help them prepare for college, career, ministry, and family. I have no idea how many young people have come through the program in the last 8 years. It's a lot. A lot of young people have come through there. I'm so thankful for Rob and Heather Almaty and their family. The early years of the school, it was just trying and trying and doing the best we could. And then Rob and Heather moved back from New Zealand. And it is amazing what God has done with the school and the doors that have opened and the academics and the discipling and everything that has gone on. And I am so thankful for you guys. Part of the ministry of the school was to do community outreach, and we came into a partnership with the city of Eustis in a neighborhood that we call Bates Avenue. Some of you, how many of you know where Bates Avenue is? Now I'm curious. Why do you know where Bates Avenue is? Bates Avenue historically is a segregated community. Going back years ago when people could not live in the same neighborhoods if they were of different ethnic backgrounds. And then we did desegregation. That'll improve the neighborhood, right? No, it made it worse. All of the people that were educated and were business-minded, now they could go and live wherever they wanted to live. And so sometimes the neighborhood has had a bad reputation for problems. And hopefully you were not there doing anything illegal. I hope that's not why you raised your hand and said, I know where the neighborhood is. There is a notorious corner where for years and years and years, all of the sale, well, not all of it, but a good part of it, of illegal substances went down. And you would see it happening. You know, the city kind of had this concept of if there was more activity, more people gathering together right near that corner, it would discourage that kind of behavior. So they made a house available. We call it the Bates Avenue Neighborhood Resource Center. And we do all kinds of things over there. We do food distributions and we do job training and a lot of different things to help people. One of the things I love about it is that there are people from different backgrounds that are all working together to better the community. They're not out there marching. They're not out there rioting. They're out there doing something together to bless the community. Would you show that little video clip that I have right now? This is of the Bates Avenue Neighborhood Resource Center and a ministry that's going on.
Here at the center, we do quite a bit. We help with taxes, and we help with finding jobs with the computer, on the computer, help with computer stuff. We also have a food bank that we have the second and fourth Friday of each month that we pass out meats and cheeses and canned goods and baked goods and vegetables. If you need food, this is where you can come to get some. Right now it's a drive-through. You don't even have to get out of your car. There is paperwork that you will have to fill out. It's a great thing. I've been working here for 4.5 years, and I love it.
I'd like to say good morning to everybody. Praise the Lord. And you all have been a blessing to me and my family. And I appreciate all you have done for us. And like I say, the next time I'm here, I'm going to bring a donation to the pantry because that's the way I feel. I feel like I should give back.
Este programa me ha servido bastante porque en ocasiones ahorita con lo que está pasando de la pandemia, pues a mí no me aprobaron en las estampillas de ABC, no me aprobaron, entonces no me pudieron dar lo que están dando por los niños en la escuela. Y este programa me está ayudando porque tienen bastantes funciones de la Zoomer, los programas de Zoomer que dan para los niños, y me ha servido de mucha bendición porque pues mis niñas les gusta todo, ¿verdad que les gusta todo?
It's a blessing to me because I'm able to help someone else. Because once before I was helped, so now I'm giving back or trying to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias por todas las bendiciones que nos han dado.
Know that guy. I really want to express my appreciation to John. John is such a blessing. We're so excited about his marriage with Sarah and their child that's on the way. Praise the Lord. There's another church in Tiberias. It's called Faith Christian Fellowship. It's an interesting story. There was a church that was being started at Lake Square Mall that I was working with and praying for some place to move. The mall wasn't working out. And this little church in Tiberias had lost their pastor, and they had like 5 elderly people left. And we began to talk to the church, and there was this agreement that we would come together, the little group from the mall, with the little group that remained at this little Mennonite church. You know anything about Mennonites? Little Mennonite church. And we would work together. That's been 3 years ago, and the Lord has blessed that ministry. One of the things that's wonderful about the church there is it is very multicultural, very multi-ethnic. There are now 6 pastors at the church. There's an older Jamaican pastor. There's an older white pastor. There's a Spanish pastor, there's an African-American pastor, and I love it. I love that diversity that is there. And what I'm finding as we're in this time of so much political tension, and I'm seeing that people are becoming so polarized, you've got to be totally in one camp or totally in the other. Does anybody feel that? And I'm finding that we need to have people around us that are different than we are, that are fully committed to Christ, that love the Lord with all of their heart, are committed to following the Word of God, and we need to learn from each other. When I'm working in a black community, I need to learn from some really strong black leaders that help me know how to relate. Sometimes we feel like we've got it all figured out. I can walk into some place and tell them how it is. Can you? Are you sure? I don't think so. And then another church, which was about to close, is a little church out in the Ocala National Forest off of Highway 42. And I love this story because there are several different parts. My family was a part of starting that church many, many years ago. It became a Baptist church, and then over time, they had lost ground and they were going to close the church. And a young lady who lives out there, her name is Missy Herman. How many of you know Missy? 3 years ago, spoke to Pastor Sean and said she was feeling led of the Lord to start working with that church and working with the children and the youth out there. And she's been faithful. And then she called us and she said, the church is voting to close. Can you do anything to help us? I went out and spoke to the church. I met with Pastor Sean. I met with the other leaders. And we talked about, is there any way that we can work together and help this church restart? Pastor Sean has been out there preaching. Others here have gone out. Different ones have gone out and led the worship. And God began to consolidate and put people together. We began to pray, Lord, we need a leader right there living in that community and leading that church. And lo and behold, God spoke to Sam and Jessica about moving back from Alabama, moving out into the forest and pastoring that church. I say pastoring the church. The title that he currently has is outreach director, but everybody in the church is already introducing him as their pastor. Guess what we're getting ready to do? Ordain Sam as a pastor at that church. I have another little video of the church out in the forest. Can you play that, please? I want to encourage you this morning. What God is doing doesn't exactly fit the model that we always look at as being effective and successful. If everything was consolidated into one place, you know, this building would be totally full. The whole parking lot would be filled up. But it's not consolidated in one place. It's scattered. Do you know, currently, the Lord has blessed us with 6 different properties. There's this property, and there's the property next door where the tents are that people live in that are a part of the school. There's the farm back there with the house that's back there. There's a house in Eustis. There's the church over in Tiberias. There's a church out in the forest. Those are resources that God has made available. One of the things that I think is really significant is doing ministry right in the communities where the needs are. That's what's going on currently. What is in the future? What does God have for us? I think there might be some more church plants and church replants. Recently, I've been saying to the Lord, Lord, if there's some more churches that are about to close down, we're available if you call us to help them relaunch and restart. There might be some more discipleship schools that the Lord is going to let us be a part of helping to start. I get really excited about the thought of training and raising up more pastors, elders, and missionaries. Really exciting today to lay hands on Obed. And I can't wait for this ordination service when we ordain Sam. I remember the first time I asked Sam about 5 years ago if he wanted to pastor a church. I think he took 3 steps backwards. I'd like to say that Jessica was pushing him forward, but she was stepping backwards too, so. And now seeing him stepping up to the plate, I told him the other day he's pastoral. He can't help it. He's wired that way, as well as a missionary. I see great potential as we collaborate together in training leaders, in sending out leaders, and being involved in impactful outreach ministries together. We're seeing the fruit of that already. That's a miracle out in the forest. That is a miracle. And Pastor Sean, I honestly believe it was the coming together. It was the coming together. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about the need for our ministry to be both pastoral and apostolic. Pastoral relates to keeping or grazing of sheep or cattle. Have you heard of a sheepfold? You've heard the term. Of course, it's in the New Testament. If we use contemporary language, it would be a sheep pen. And for some reason, I think that's a picture of the church. It's a sheep pen. It's a place where we bring sheep together, and we take care of them, and we watch over them, and we protect them, and we make certain that they are fed. It's a place of nurturing and growth. That's pastoral. But how would we define apostolic? You know, the word apostle means sent one. It means going out. It means being sent out. It means going where the greatest needs are. When you hear those two definitions, do you realize there's a tension between the two? The one motivation is to bring in, to hold close, to protect. And the other focus is push them out, send them out, get them out there. If I were to ask you to help me give a job description for a pastor, a job description of a pastor, what would you include in that description? I laugh when I ask this question because I remember years ago my dad got a phone call at like 2 o'clock in the morning from an elderly lady in the church saying, Pastor Walker, I have a snake in my bathroom. You are the pastor. You are to come and get the snake out of my bathroom. What is expected of a pastor? Do you do frogs? Well, a pastor should provide spiritual care. Would you agree with me? A pastor prepares sermons and preaches. Okay. A pastor should make certain there are worship services for the congregation, should provide counseling, should officiate baptisms, weddings, and funerals, and oversee all areas of the congregational ministry. And you might add to that or take away from it. But that's the general idea. We tend to mostly see a pastor as responsible for caring for the congregation. But what about apostolic or apostle? Let me give you some descriptions. Number one, it's a motivation to reach unreached areas. It's a calling and a commitment to go and take the gospel where there is no gospel. It involves church planting and foundation laying for new ministries to come up, training and supporting leaders, helping to resolve problems that emerge in the churches, promoting unity. Think about in the New Testament the apostles and their passion to bring different groups of believers together. And it's demonstrating and imparting the supernatural. And I have asked myself that question. As it speaks of apostolic ministry, the gifts, the miracles, I've come to the conclusion it has to do with the birthing of new ministries, of establishing foundations, and if God doesn't show up in a powerful way, it's not going to happen. So what scriptures might we focus on as we think about pastoral ministry? John 10, 11 through 18. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and doesn't care for the sheep. Another scripture I would quote to you would be Jesus speaking to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Three times. Another scripture I love thinking about pastoral ministry, Matthew 18, 12. How thank you. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which has gone astray? Aren't you glad there's a pastoral gift and a pastoral calling that can't stand even one sheep to be lost? So what scriptures would I use to present this apostolic call? Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah in the temple. And he heard a voice, the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send and who will go for us? Then I answered and said, Lord, here am I, send me. Mark chapter 16, 15, and he said unto them, go you into all the world. Go everywhere. You know what that says to me? Not everybody's going to come here. I know we want them to. Not everybody's going to come here. So what does that mean? We have to be willing to go. And then it goes on to say, and preach the gospel to every creature, to every person. Do not let culture, do not let language, do not let ethnicity stop you. Preach the gospel to every person. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 20, Paul, who was called to be an apostle, said, "Yea, I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." There was something in him that motivated him to constantly be pressing outward, looking for those places where the gospel was not being preached. I wonder what a pastoral prayer might focus on. I think about Jesus saying to Peter, "Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I pray that your faith will not fail." That sounds like a pastoral prayer to me. Would you agree? Barnabas, who had a ministry of mercy and compassion, he was an apostle, but he was very compassionate. And when John Mark abandoned them and went home, and on their next missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul didn't. I think there's a little bit of pastoral and apostolic that is manifesting there. Paul said he's not going. Barnabas said, "Yes, we are taking him. We're not giving up on him." You got a sense of what a pastoral prayer would be? Well, what about an apostolic prayer? Let me give you an example. It's in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Jesus said, "The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers." You know that word, send forth? It's the same word that is translated cast out. Just like you'd cast a demon out. Get out! In the name of Jesus, go! You're not welcome here anymore. Get out. What kind of prayer do you want prayed for you? Say, "I'll take those pastoral prayers, please." Are you hearing me say something this morning? I hope you are. The church, to be a healthy church, needs to be both pastoral and apostolic. It needs to be ministering to the congregation and inviting others into the fellowship of the body of Christ. But it also needs to be out in the highways and byways. It needs to be in the segregated communities. It needs to be out in the forest. It needs to be in other countries. I almost said something, but I don't know if you could handle it. You might need to be right in a Black Lives Matter protest, not protesting, but praying, and being an instrument of God's peace and mercy and love and compassion. You might need to be right in a white supremacist march. Not being a white supremacist, but praying and interceding and showing the love of Christ. I said I wasn't going to do that this morning. Do you know we're Christians first? Do you know what we need to be talking about is Jesus? I am so grieved in my heart that we're not talking enough about Jesus. We're talking about everything else. We need to be the people talking about Jesus. Chris's stepmom, Pam Juergens, sent a word out recently. She was praying, and she said she feels like the Lord told her it doesn't matter who wins the upcoming election, there's going to be problems and conflicts either way. When I heard it, something in my heart said, that's true. That's true. It's not going to resolve the problem because our society is so divided. There is so much anger and hatred and craziness. People getting shot for wearing a mask or shot for not wearing a mask. I don't know if you guys realize how much I'm projecting up here this morning. I apologize. Come on, church. Come on, church. Don't isolate. Don't isolate. Don't be like a sect. I just surround myself with people that are just like me and just think like me. Can you hear a calling? We've got to be out in those places where the church is most needed. And we're not throwing stones. We're not railing against people. We're speaking of Christ. The best way I can illustrate pastoral and apostolic is by referring to both as forces. Pastoral would be more what I would call centripetal. Centripetal is drawing inward. Can't you picture a shepherd wanting to draw his sheep close? Hold his sheep close. Check the sheep, see if they've got any ticks on them. Any wounds or sores that need to be healed. What a wonderful gift to the body of Christ. And then you have the apostolic, which I would refer to as centrifugal, which is this outward force, pushing people out. Do you hear me trying to push you out a little bit this morning? Don't be angry at me. Pastor Sean told me to do it. You did. He did. He told me. He said, bring an apostolic challenge this morning. He told me to do that. Pushing them out. Cast them out, Lord. Get them out there, Lord. Don't let them get too comfortable, Lord. All of a sudden, I sounded like my dad. My dad was preaching at a church in Detroit, and he was calling for young people to go on a mission trip with him to Haiti. And he said, you know, you might be scared. You might be saying, I might get killed. I go on this mission trip with Pastor Bobby, I might get killed. My dad said, if they kill you, we hadn't had anybody get killed yet, but if they kill you, we'll fly your body back home. We'll have the biggest funeral that they've ever seen. We'll preach Jesus at your funeral. We'll give an altar call for people to get saved. And then we'll give a missionary call for people to go do what you just did. My dad was in the Philippines on a mission trip when he had a massive heart attack and died instantly. We flew his body back. The largest service we ever had here was his funeral. The whole back field was covered with cars. People wouldn't fit in here. And I played that little audio tape of my dad preaching in that church in Detroit. And I'm thinking, gosh, that's what we're doing today. My dad died on the mission field. I got his casket here. We're preaching Jesus. And then do you know what we did? We gave a call. If you want the mantle of evangelism and passion to reach the lost, then come forward. the aisles filled up. You couldn't even get any more people in here trying to get up to the front. So I'm going to wrap up with an illustration, okay? And I do want you to trust me, I am a professional. I want to talk about centripetal and centrifugal. God has blessed us. God has blessed us. There's a lot of things the Lord has blessed us with to impact our world for Christ. So I've got a rope in my hand, and I put a knot at one end, and that knot is to stick my finger into, because believe me, you do not want this rope to slide out of my hand. And I just kind of want to talk about that knot. That knot is Jesus. Everything is about Him. Everything is about His glory. Everything is about His honor. And there is no doubt our ministry is to be centripetal. We are to constantly be bringing people to Jesus, bringing people to Jesus, bringing people to Jesus. That's what we're called to. And then the rope is a braided rope. Anybody think of a scripture about a cord with three strands is stronger? And so I see this as relationship amongst the leaders that God is raising up, of God braiding us together, braiding us together. It is such a joy to have Sam and Jessica here today for this ordination service. It's such a joy to have Vic here this morning. And I can't wait till what we're going to do out there, gathering together with Sam and Jack as they're ordained for that church. So the rope, the braided rope, is this relationship of leaders. The baseball is, it's the message, isn't it? And it's the message that's got to be out there where it's most needed. Did I mention some places it's most needed right now? I can't wait to see your picture in the paper. He's at a Black Lives Matter march. I'd probably really be shocked if I saw your face on the news. I'm like, he's at a white supremacist march? Oh my goodness. Remember why you're there if you go. Not to break windows out. Are you listening to me? Did I offend anybody by saying that? So that's what we got to get out there. But there's another part that's real important. It's the net. And I see the net being all of us, because we have a responsibility to carry this message, this gospel. Believe me, what I'm doing right now is extremely important. You do not want me to rush. You do not. I need to carefully make certain I get all four corners of this net tied together. Unless I'm coming up against Goliath, then I'll do it a little different. But. And I know we want a really good knot in there. You don't want that knot to come out. Because you know what's coming, don't you? Yeah, we're going to be creating some force. Oh, that knot in my hand was getting a little loose. I started thinking this was about me. I forgot it was about Jesus. Tighten it up. Anybody need to renew their commitment to Christ? Come on. Anybody need to recommit to Christ? I mean, what do I mean by recommit? Jesus, you are first. Jesus, it's not about me. Jesus, it's not about me. That first song we sang was such a good song for this message today. It really was. I'm a nobody telling everybody about a somebody. Let's make certain we've got that knot right. Jesus first. And then a challenge to the leaders that God is raising up. Can we be a strong braided rope? If I'm talking bad about you, I'm not. Don't look at me like, I'm not talking bad about you. That's not building that rope, is it? If I'm not praying for you, if I'm not encouraging you, I'm not helping to braid that rope, am I? And then there's a challenge to the church. May God help us to join together. You know, none of our churches are big. None of our ministries are big. And sometimes that's all that people look at is, how big are you? How many are you running? I heard one pastor say, I'm running 700, but I'm catching 35. But what if God has a way of taking the nobodies and joining us together in a way that we become really effective in getting the message where it needs to be? And then you know what comes next, right? So I think this is a trust issue. You know, first of all, how much line do I let out here? You know, how much line do I let out? Well, a lot depends on how much confidence I have in my rope. Because I want to know that's not going to break if we're going to really create a momentum. The other thing we really want to be certain of, that we're not doing anything for our own glory. So we want to have that so solid, right? Why am I getting nervous all of a sudden? I had Lynn move some stuff ahead of time. I didn't want to have a disaster up here. You know, I don't know how fast the Lord might. I don't know how far. You know, we're pushing out while we're holding in, too. Aren't we doing both? Trying to explain these two different forces. Centrifugal is like kids on a merry-go-round. And one kid gets a little too far on the outside, and guess what happened? Woo! Centripetal is like water going down the drain, pulling it in, sucking it in. I shared with Pastor Sean this morning, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And they were all gathered together in an upper room when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. I got to thinking about that rushing wind. Something was moving. Something was being unleashed. Something was about to explode. I think I'm hearing the Lord this morning. I think the Lord is calling us. He's calling us. God is doing something to reach many people for Christ. In the history that we are living in right now, we need Christian witness more than Would you agree? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, please take these words. And most importantly, your word, Lord, and burn it into our hearts. I pray, Lord, that our relationship with Christ, our commitment to Christ be solid, be established. I pray that our relationships together will be like a strong braided rope. I pray, God, that this network, this net, Lord, will be put together properly, Lord. And Lord, that we will be the people you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to close. And if you want prayer this morning, I promise I will stop projectiling and we will pray. If you want prayer this morning, why don't you just come stand across the front, okay? If you would like prayer this morning, whatever God might be speaking to you personally, would you come?